Dr. Winterham, reel 5. Mm-hmm. Reel 5.
My God, how many reels do you want?
Carry on, it's all right.
I better be a bit brief.
You were saying there was some shooting going on there.
That was the New Year's Eve shooting. The German was just...
And Feu de Joie.
That's right. Well, in the morning, about 12 o'clock, my friend came and joined this subway. And then another one came with a car, told us to lie, well, the lorry, small lorry, open lorry, told us to lie quietly on the bottom and took us to his house, which was the bottom of Pyrenees. And then there was no snow, and it's now we're walking. Of course, my friend, Klein, is dead now. He wasn't a physically very fit. So we walked about, it was getting dark, we walked through narrow paths and through woods. Then we just came and saw a precipice on the other side, there was a fire. He said, this is a German station, and they just got a fire on a big house, yes. And about 8 o'clock in the evening, we were in the spring, in the boat. It was dark already. Now you could see the lights in Spain, and France, of course, was in the darkness because it was Vichy France. Before we went, I promised them some money because we were told if you caught within 25 kilometers in Spain, they'd take you back to the border. Apparently, they didn't always do it, but at the time it was accepted. So I asked him, if you're willing to take us 25 kilometers, you can have my suit, which I left in Montpellier, and any other money. But the one who took us in the car was a much different type than me. Once we came to the border, he said, every year with you, it's your job now. So they took us to some old building, which is kind of a, like a stable, big stable with a lot of hay, and people coming and going all night till the morning. Well, I had a compass and a map of Spain, an official map. My friend, we were very great friends then, was not physically very tough and also a bit on the nervous side. He said, maybe just follow me. And we lay. He said, you must do it. The Spaniard told us it's not that much. You must be very careful on the border because they're hiding Spanish police and even women, which I saw. So we were lying there for a couple of hours before we got up. We dragged around, and then we went on the fields and we walked all day. We had a bit of food, we took two bags, and had a bit of bread, and a bit of water. And I managed with the map, and especially the compass, to walk through fields and then till the evening. Then we came to a kind of village. Well, I wouldn't call it a village, they were just houses, small houses. So I knocked on one, took the courage in hand, asked, can we come in? He said, yes. Well, we said we were French, because you were careful not to say we were Polish, because the Poles were fighting on the side against Franco. There were quite a few Poles fighting there, the bottom tree. So he let us in, he gave us something to eat, and he said, now if you cross just this path, there is an empty stable or something, you can spend the night there, which we did. Now, we walked like that for nearly 3 weeks, and I decided that I would have liked to write a story about it. I'm not going to tell you all the details. Every night, we had a different experience. And it's really something that one could write a book about. But then I'm not going to tell the details because it's too long. Some would let us just sleep outside, give us something to eat. Some, one, the most generous, was a boy sitting there, says, my parents are out. It was one of the poorest houses I ever seen. The animals were on one side, and there was a little wall, and a They were the most generous. Then we made a mistake because he was very nervous, my friend. We walked all night. Then we slept outside in the rain at night. We went into the village and we said, well, there is a man who's got a big house there. You go up on the top of the village. We went up there, we knocked at the door, and a woman opened it, and she said, well, my brother isn't in, but you can come in. Who are you? Well, I already spoke at her now. Not very well, but you know, because they spoke Catalan in that part of France. But you speak Catalan, or Catalan? I said, no, no, no. He said, we were French. He said, we were French. Well, when the brother came, he was a count with a mustache, very aggressive. And he said, when 1936, when the war broke out, I went to France. They wouldn't let me stay there. And they pushed me back. They didn't push him back into the revolutionaries, but they pushed him back right to the other end where Franco was still. And he got very aggressive. I was really ready to get out. But eventually, I said, look, it's not our fault. If you don't want us, we'll go, but please don't make. Then he changed his mind. He said, all right, I'll let you stay. There is a upstairs in the, I don't know what it is called. It's not a room, it was a. So I said, give me that phone. Give me word that you want to call the police. He did. And he shook hands. But I don't want to see it. Well, knowing that the Spaniard came, shook hands, I knew he won't. My friend didn't sleep all night because he was old. But he sent us up some food, and in the morning they didn't want to see us, and we went. And later on, when I tell you, I wanted really to write my experience in the 3 weeks. And then one day I looked at the map and I saw we were 25 kilometers
from the border.
So I didn't bother so much. Then we got not very far from Barcelona, and I didn't know how to go anymore. Well, we went, there was a river, and then I saw a dog working on the field. And I asked him, how can I get to Barcelona? Can you tell me? He wasn't very friendly. So I said, all right. And then when I went, I said, salut. The salute was the expression of the Republicans, which I remembered from. So he ran after us. You're one of us. I'm sorry. I behaved like that. I didn't know. I said, yes. Because he came back from France and he was hiding. So he was on the Republican side and he was hiding and working in somebody said, I'll take you to a friend of mine. And the friend managed to get back into the village. He somehow covered himself up and he spent the night there. I said, how do we get to Barcelona? He said, I'll see what I can do. Next day, he got a taxi. Took us to the taxi, said, can I take you to the British consulate in Barcelona? I said, is it safe the way we look? He said, I think so. If we had enough money, we still had about 8 years or pesetas. So he took us. And we stopped. There was a stop with two or three gendarmes on the way. But they just waved. They didn't stop us on the way. You can imagine how we looked after 3 weeks walking. And he took us right in front of the British consul. Well, we got there about 2 o'clock and they were just going for lunch, so they said, come back at 4. Well, I could speak English, of course. We got there at 4 and there were people coming and going, and nothing happened for several hours. Till about the evening at 7 or 8, a young woman rather a bit cheeky. Because the interviewer said, why are you coming now? What did you do all the time? I said, well, I was in prisoner of war. I escaped. I wanted freedom. It was not a friend. But God knows here that I can't just look at the net. Eventually, she told us in hotel where to go. And there was a woman who was very nice, an elderly, older woman, took the papers we had, because we had. I left all my documents in France. I left with a friend in France, which I didn't mention, in Montpellier. When the Germans came, they were very friendly. I left my diploma, my birth certificate. Anyway, I just had one or two copies of my important documents of a medical diploma. Eventually, on about we slept two or three nights, we stayed there. Eventually, the French captain said, you'll have to take your train. The Poles weren't recognized anymore. And you go to San Sebastian, I think that you say. And then you take a train to Madrid. I wasn't very keen. I was ready to walk to Madrid. But my friend wasn't made that way. So we got onto the train. And I saw already, as soon as we were on the train, that there were some men, two or three men walking around in civilian clothes. And then I saw one going and checking everybody's identity papers. We stopped at the station and we went down. My friend, who was very nervous, and he got somewhere on the roof of the train. I went back, went into the room, but eventually a young man came, knocked. I came out, had to show them the papers, and he asked me to come and sit with him. And there was an old boy there who was doing well, an elderly man, not very old, who was checking everybody's. He said, there were two of you. Where's the other one? I said, I don't know. So I knew I was caught. Eventually, they brought him out because he was on the roof and he nearly knocked his head against the bridge. And he was terribly nervous. So they stopped us at Lerida, because the police station stopped the night, the police station. Next day, they had the examination, not very deep. And then he took us to Lerida, to prison. Now we spend in that prison 5 months. It was a
Miranda?
No, the prison was a
monastery?
No, that's right. It was an ex-monastery. And we stayed there 5 months. There were 200 men in one huge room. There was no place to lie down. The food was terrible. There was nothing to eat. And then I found my friend Polito, the one who went. He was there with his other friend. He's still alive in his prison. So we were sitting there and sitting, not knowing anything. Then we saw there was a small entry. Oh yes, once a day we had to go into it's not a garden, but into the
courtyard.
And there was a loo there, because the loo's in there. I used that loo. And after about 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we were practically starving. I gave my name as Van Tren, of course. And
Had you told the authorities the true story?
Well, I said we were friends who wanted to go. I didn't tell the true story that we were Polish and we were in the army. I mean, Franco was on the other side, although he was neutral. An Englishman came. Funny enough, I don't know why, but he talked to me. He said, we're going to the English consulate. We're going to give you some money. We're going to send you food. To those who were... Oh, yes, they told us in the consulate
in Barcelona,
they told us to say, because most of them didn't speak English, that they're French Canadiens de Français. So, of course, my friends didn't speak English. So all those Frenchmen were Canadiens, Français, Français. But I spoke English, so we said we're going to send them some food every day, which they did when they left. So we would give the friends something, and they gave us 200 pesetas. Because before that, they made a collection. There was it was a very mixed population of many nationalities. They were Poles. The Poles separate. There were Polish Jews, there were French, even one or two Americans, and one or two or three British who got caught. And of very, very intelligence, so that we had to give some lectures. My friend gave a lecture about TB because of what is in French. I gave a lecture of mental illness. And we managed somehow, you know, just to keep up for 5 months. But after a month, we had enough to eat. The lice were terrible. There were hundreds of lice every night. The conditions were terrible. We didn't know anything. But then we heard from somebody that Hitler was beaten at Stalingrad. So that was very cheerful for us because we knew, because he was going right into Russia. And I thought that, thinking about Napoleon, when I heard in Switzerland that he attacked Russia, I thought he'd break his neck. But he got much further than Napoleon. And then they moved us to another prison where we stayed all together about 4.5 or 5 months. And suddenly we were liberated. We were taken out. The last night I remember I was in another prison. I counted about 600 lice that fell on me all night. Can you imagine that? They took us out, they had a bath, and they took us to a shop to get new clothes. It was very nice. We were allowed to stay in a hotel, so we went to see a film with an American film. And then they took us, after 2 or 3 days, we took us to a village. It was arranged by the English consulate to get over our shop. And it was in a village. We slept two in a bed. I slept with a woman who was. And I was so impressed by my walk through Spain for 3 or 4 weeks. That I wanted to write it all down in French. You really stole it. But you know, after 5 months in a prison, I can't tell you the details, but you can't imagine. I'd rather go up in the hill and sit for a couple of hours. Then a representative of the English consul came to see us. And I could speak English with him. He said, is there any chance of me joining the British Army? I don't want to join the Polish Army. He says, I can't tell you. You have to first get out and see what happens. After 3 weeks, we were better dressed. I got one photograph. We were able to run around in the fields, and I made one or two friends who are dead now. I slept with another one in a bed. He was a Pole. He took us to a train. Took us to Madrid. And then they gave was alone. This friend of mine had a bed, I had a bed, and another doctor who's dead now, who also studied in France. His name is Dr. Wynne, but his name was Vanga. He was very nice. He had a few bit of money and letters in the prison. And we stayed in Madrid a few weeks. We ate in there. We were and we got, I think, about the town. There was a kind of a Polish office, not official, because there was no Poland officially. We had to go there. And it was very nice when you think about the life in prison, when you saw. I spoke to several Spaniards and men who were there for 30 years. And one said, I could have gone back, but the priest doesn't want me. The people have nothing against me. They just happened to be on the Republican side. I could tell you quite a few stories, but that's perhaps besides the point. So we stayed in Madrid a few weeks, and I was fascinated by the town. First of all, I was always interested in painting. I was at the museum, Museum Sunday, forgot the name of. And we could go to a cafe at night, and we stayed there several weeks. And when I thought about the difference of the life I saw in Madrid, in the life I saw the prisoners who were there for 20 or 30 years or more, because I went later to Spain and France and was still there long after the war. It just was a terrible shock. Then eventually we had, and we got to go. And we were supposed to go to Gibraltar. So we got on a train, which took us to Portugal. We had to stop before we got on a boat. I just walked on a quay, and there were three Polish officers already in uniforms, standing and talking. And I just happened to go by, and I listened to what they said. That was 1943 already. Which front was it? I don't know. It would have been somewhere already. And the one who came from Poland, from you, he said there are practically no Jews. They were all killed. That was 1943. That's one thing I had, which was very cheerful. And then we got to the boat. In Portugal, which took us halfway, and we had to get on another boat, took us to Gibraltar. Where we saw, of course, the British soldiers. And I knew I was on British territory, out of neutral or warfare in Europe. Well, very soon they gave us uniforms and they said, you've got a choice. We went on the Polish officers and non-commissioned officers. But you can go either to North Africa and join the French army, or you can go to England and join the Polish army. Well, I didn't want to go back. That's after the war. During the war, you would have still in the fighting line. And that was a decision to make. I said, I'm going to England. I want to see the country. Took the risk of being taken back into the Polish army. They put into a uniform. And a boat took us 13 days. And the boat was normally for 800 people. But there were 3,000 soldiers, and there were many German prisoners. I was even called once by a British officer if I could translate something from German. I already had the uniform. And we were followed by submarines, but they couldn't do anything. And I was thrilled to be in a British boat. I wasn't very keen that I may have to be again in the Polish army, but I see. I thought to myself, I'll see when we get there. We got next to Britain, it was lovely. It was around Liverpool. The sea was quiet. The soldiers, the British soldiers on the boat were quiet, and I spoke English. And there was one sergeant. I said, England is quiet, he said. He said, there are too many Americans. The gentleman, but still, there were a lot of Americans. We went around Liverpool, I think we finished in Liverpool, then they took us to the train. Right out, not far from London. What was it called, that place? It took about 6 or 8 weeks from one place to another one to clear out. See who we were, you see. I could give you the name of it, but
don't worry.
It doesn't matter. They eventually found out that as a Jew, you could refuse to join the Polish army because of anti-Semitism. Most, you heard about it, did you?
Yes.
Because of anti-Semitism, you didn't have to join the Polish army. And you could just work, not join the British Army, but work somewhere. Well, that went on. In the meantime, I got to know one or two Poles. One was some, he wasn't an officer, but he was some lieutenant or something. He was always talking. Mind you, he got very friendly, but while we were in the train going to Portugal, he says the Jews always moan, always complain already there. Hundreds of thousands killed, but I didn't know that. And he was looking for me when he went to the army, and I was just went away. Then we had to tell our life story. We had either an Englishman or a Polish officer. And I was hoping, because I was only two of us who spoke English, that I would be a British officer. But they had a Polish officer. It was quite pleasant when I told them that I escaped from Switzerland, but I could have sat quietly until the end of the war. And then at the end he said, of course you want to join our army. I said, no, I'm not going to join the army because of anti-Semitism. So he got up and went out. After a while, we've been there, he took us to London. And I forget all the name. In a nice district, like they had a house which belonged to Portillo. And there were those like me who refused. They were mostly Polish Jews. And there were 18 of us in one room. I felt one of my was upstairs. And the one who was looking after the house, I forgot the name, Mrs. My name's my her daughter married my friend. Oh yes, there was a dentist who remembered me, who was 1 year in Montpellier. His name was Good Friend, but he changed it to Good Friend. And I haven't seen him for years, but he remembered me. And when we were in Gibraltar, he came in a friend uniform to go to North Africa. I said, you go, I'm going to England. So next day he changed his uniform, I'm going with you. He liked me, got friendly, and said, well, you don't want to, but you're going to go back to France? Because of